All right, we are on our third week now, looking at this question, what is a pastor? And now, as those any of you who were here on the first evening, you probably remember we looked at a number of different types of ministry, all the way from apostles on down. And pastor is in that list, as one of the types of ministry or the types of gifts that God gives to the church. Some of what we look at tonight may not necessarily be talking in every instance specifically about a pastor, because as I mentioned earlier, the main job of every single person that we had listed up here on the board, which included about around 8 different types of ministry, the main job of all of those people was preaching. That is, the main job of a pastor is preaching, or feeding the people, let's say, with the Word of God. It may be privately, it may be in personal conversation, it may be preaching publicly in a crowd. But the main job of all that list of people was to minister the Word of God to the people of God for the direct purpose of edification. To take the people of God and build them into a solid group of people, a soul-winning group of people, the body of Christ, a sinless group of people, a group of people who lives for God, a group of people who is separated from the world, everything that God has called His church to be. It is the job of those leaders who are in ministry to make the church of God be what God has called the church to be. So as we go over some of the things we're going to look at tonight, you can say, well, why are we talking about, we're going to talk about the Apostle Paul specifically. Why are we looking at the Apostle Paul? He was an apostle. Now, the fact of the matter is, the Apostle Paul did the work of a pastor many, many times in his life. Anytime you have a man preaching the gospel, forming a church, and being in a ministry over that church, preaching to the church and leading the church, that is the work of a pastor. Now, the Apostle Paul had calling even higher and above the work of being a pastor, but he also did the work of a pastor. It's also interesting to note the things that we've been talking about and will be talking about tonight and probably next week also is driving people away. I see the crowd is getting smaller as we go. But I'm sorry, I don't care in what age of ministry, in what age of history you go to and look at the solid Christianity of that age. I'm not talking about the weak falling apart Christianity, but the solid Christianity, the revival type Christianity of that age. The work of ministry was always regarded with the highest regard as somebody who was sold out to God. Always throughout the ages of Christianity, the work of ministry was performed by somebody who was sold out to God. Somebody who didn't care anything at all about the people, but ministered in truth the Word of God. Somebody who would not bend, somebody who would not bow, somebody who was faithful to God in spite of anything that happened. And today, what we call pastors today in the United States of America is a direct opposite. Rather, they are Christian politicians who stand in the pulpit and tickle the ears of the people and make the congregation happy, and refrain from talking about the things that the Bible says because somebody in the church might get offended. That in no way, shape, or form even begins to describe what a pastor is. All those are is the blind leading the blind. When somebody takes on the work of ministry, they're standing between a holy God and between an unholy people. And they are asking the people to follow God because God said that anybody who didn't was coming to judgment. Any kind of ministry that leaves that out is of the devil. So tonight, reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to read a lengthy passage now, and we may read more later. But we'll start in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despair. persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. I think I'm going to quit reading at that point for now. We'll look at some of the things that Paul writes here. First of all, you remember the main thing that we looked at last week. Jesus is our shepherd. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And we looked in Hebrews where twice it says of Jesus, He is able. He is able to save. He is able to help. He is able. Jesus is not just a shepherd that can try to take care of the sheep. Jesus is not a shepherd that may succeed sometime and may fail sometimes. He is the shepherd who gave His life, and He is the shepherd who conquered death. He is the shepherd that succeeded in the life of every Christian. And He has absolute power to keep and to save and to present those who come to Him, to God by Him, to God for eternal life. Now you noticed, if you were listening, as we read through this passage, it says in verse 6 of chapter 2, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament." And this is my verse for this evening. Paul said that the Lord, the Christ, has made His ministers able ministers. God has taken the people that He has put in place of being a pastor, or in place of being a bishop or an apostle, etc., etc. He has taken these people and He has made them able to lead the church of God. He has given them everything that they need to succeed in being leaders of God's people. And Paul goes on, both before and after this verse, explaining the things that God has done, which are the very things that give the minister of God the ability to perform the work of God. I want to notice what comes immediately following. He says, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." And then he goes on to the subject of the difference between the New Testament and the law for the rest of this chapter. If you guys didn't catch everything that he was saying in there, because some of it gets just slightly complicated, everything he's talking about now for the rest of the chapter, he's talking about the difference between the law and the New Testament, the difference between salvation by works and salvation through Jesus Christ. And he refers back to the fact that when Moses came down from the mountain with the law, and Moses was going to give the law to the people of Israel, they could not look at his face because it shone. It was brighter than a light bulb. You can look at these bulbs, okay? Even if they aren't pretty, you can look at them. Moses' face was shining so brightly that the children of Israel could not look at it, the Bible says. They could not look steadfastly at his face. And so Moses put a covering over his face while he told the people the law of God. And Paul writes in this chapter, if the ministration of the law was that glorious, a glory that was to be done away, because when Christ died on the cross, the law became void. It was finished. It was thrown out. It's done. If the ministration of the law was that glorious, he says, much more the ministration of righteousness through Christ will be glorious. Much more. Now you try and apply that to the work of ministry that we have in our country today and see how many people fall flat on their face. You take a man, I don't care, I'll mention names tonight because this is an important issue. You take a man, you can name him James Dobson if you want, and you can put him on Christian radio so that while I stand in this pulpit here and I preach to 25 people, James Dobson can get on the radio and reach millions and millions of people. And he has a little bit of a mix of scripture and a big little bit of a mix of psychology that he feeds to the people. And you know what happens at the end of every time, every single time his program comes on the air? You know what happens? They ask for money. How glorious is that? Come on, shout, raise your hands and scream. Isn't that awesome? Is that Christianity? I'm here to tell you absolutely for certain it is not. Now, whether or not James Dobson is a Christian or not, I do not know anything enough about his life to make that judgment, and I'm not here to say. But I can tell you one thing for certain. Nobody who has any interest in following God has any business dealing with that kind of a preacher. He is not of God. He is not preaching the truth. He is not ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. He is not teaching redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. He is teaching a watered-down, shallow, ridiculous, horrible replacement for the gospel of Christ. It is garbage. You guys have all heard me say before that I don't like Christian radio. Now, I don't know if even the people who are not quite teaching a mix of Christianity and psychology on Christian radio, that any of them are actually better than that. Virtually every program that exists on Christian radio today spends at least one-tenth of its time asking for money. Where is the shining light of the gospel? Where is the glory of God? Where is the ministration of righteousness we're talking about in this chapter? Where is the people falling down before Christ and repenting of their sins? Where is the old-fashioned gospel of Christ? Where is the Spirit of God? That kind of Christianity is not of God. It is not, they are not delivering the word of God. Now I want to add something to the scripture here, a reasonable interpretation. Paul says, God has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And then he goes on talking about what he's talking about when he says not of the letter, which was the Old Testament. But you know what? When Paul wrote these words, the New Testament was not in letter form yet. The Old Testament they had in the form of letters. The New Testament they had delivered to them of Jesus Christ. But the New Testament got written down in letters, just like the Old Testament was written. You know, I am here to tell you tonight that the principle of how the Old Testament, the letter killeth, is true just as much of the New Testament, if all you have is the letter. You can throw the Old Testament away completely. You can take the New Testament, Matthew through Revelation only. And if the only thing that you have in the New Testament is the letter, and you are lacking the Christ and the Spirit of Christ, you have got a ministry of condemnation. Because nobody, I don't care who you are, I don't care how good you are, I don't care what great blessings you have been born with, nobody can please God. Not even according to the New Testament. Nobody can please God without Christ. Now, you know what happens when we get churches with ministers who are not saved in them? You know what happens? If they take the entire message of the New Testament, I'm not talking about, they can stand up here all they want and they can say, believe in Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Anyone can say that. But if they take the entire content of the New Testament and they preach against sin like the New Testament does, and they preach repentance like the New Testament does, and they preach true faith like the New Testament does, and they preach humility like the New Testament does, and all the things that the New Testament preaches, if they preach those things to the people without the life of God accompanying their ministry, they will have a ministry of condemnation. And this is the number one reason why ministers everywhere that are not saved are departing from the preaching of the Word of God. Because if they don't have the Spirit, they can't preach the Word. They would empty their churches out. Everybody would leave if they started preaching all the things of the New Testament without the power of Christ, without the people being saved, without the ability to actually have victory over sin. They would empty their churches out. And so different people have taken different approaches to it. The evangelical church, when they lose touch with God, they just quit preaching the things that they call the hard sayings of Jesus. They quit preaching them. Or they write books and they entitle them the hard sayings of Jesus. And in their books they go through and they tell you all about the hard sayings of Jesus and they tell you that he didn't mean the things that he said. The Catholic Church, on the other hand, has taken a different stand. They have continued to preach the hard things of the New Testament, but they give everybody an opt-out. All you got to do is pay this little bit of money that everybody can afford and get forgiven of your sins. All you got to do is come to the priest and confess and get forgiven of your sins. And if you decided not to do that, and if you lived your life in sin and went and died, it's no big deal. All you got to do is come to the priest, and the priest can get your soul out of hell. You know, they had to do that. They had to do that because they didn't have the Spirit of God. And without the Spirit of God, they had no way to offer to the people any hope at all. Because the people could not understand that there was any chance of salvation for them without the work of the Spirit of God. If we do not have a living Christianity where people are saved and know they are saved according to the Scriptures, and where the Spirit is at work in the preacher, and the Spirit is at work in the church, and the Spirit is at work in the people, if we don't have that, we can't use the New Testament in our churches. It won't work for us. Because only the Spirit of God and the death of Christ making us sons of God can bring us to victory where we can actually live according to the New Testament. It's the only way it works. So Paul here says God has made us able ministers. In other words, we have the ability to lead the people of God into following the Christ. We have the ability. But he goes on because there's more. Because you remember last week when we looked at the Lord is my shepherd, and then we went back and we looked at Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 and Psalm 8 and Psalm 22, and we found out that before the Lord could be a shepherd, he actually had to suffer, and he actually had to die, and he actually had to get mistreated, and he had to go through all these things. According to the book of Hebrews, it was those things that made him able. According to the book of Hebrews, it was because he went through those things he is able. Paul writes all those things all over again in 2 Corinthians here. He says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Now, earthen vessels, we have a very clear picture going back to the Old Testament of when Gideon went out with his 300 men. And he took pitchers with lights in them, candles. Pitchers with candles in them. And he took trumpets. And he said to all the people who followed him, he said, "You watch what I do, and you do what I do." And it says that Gideon broke his pitcher, and he blew the trumpet. That's what a preacher is. The breaking of the pitcher and the blowing of the trumpet. So Paul here is writing about this. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, or pitchers, if you want. We have this treasure in pitchers, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And he goes on to explain what happens to the pitcher. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body." Earthen vessels, the body. "Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus." There's Psalm 22. "That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." There's Psalm 23. You have to have Psalm 22 before you can have Psalm 23. "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you." Able ministers. Now let me tell you very plainly, anybody who wants to be a minister of the gospel of Christ for money is choosing the stupidest profession that anybody could ever dream of choosing anywhere ever. It is the stupidest thing on the face of the earth to choose a position in this world where we are always delivered unto death so that the church might be saved. There's no income you can offer a person that would adequately pay for that choice of a job. Now, what Paul writes about, I want to be clear on this point, because this is going to be the truth about every true minister of the gospel, but is not going to always look the same in every minister's life. Okay? Paul lived in a time where there was great persecution against the church. Right now, we are living in a time in a country where there is almost no persecution against the church. The time that Paul lived in was much rougher than the time we live in. So the different ways that this death or bearing about in the body the marks of the Lord Jesus are always being delivered to death. The different way that manifested itself in Paul's life and the way it might manifest itself in the life of a minister of God today might be somewhat different. Nevertheless, I do not hesitate for one moment to say that every person who has been born again and called of God to preach and is working in the preaching of the gospel of Christ, they will all have some degree of these kind of things happening in their life because God will do it to them. God is the one who takes people through troubles so that he can squeeze the light of Jesus out of their broken body. It is not until the pitcher is broken that the light shines out. When Gideon went out to the army, the light was hidden. They snuck up on the people. They got very close to the people. The people didn't know they were coming, though the light was burning all the time. But when Gideon broke the pitcher and held the lights up, and this vast army of 1 million people looked, because Gideon's army, teeny little army of 300 men, had surrounded this multitude of people. And they looked, and it's dark, it's in the night, and they looked, and on every side of them, the army of Israel had come. Now they didn't know that the army of Israel was only one man deep and they had no weapons. They didn't know that. But all they saw was lights and heard lots of noise. The pitchers had to be broken. When the pitcher was broken, the light shined. And Jesus said it, and I preach on this so many times, I'm tired of it, but I'm going to do it again tonight. He said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. Now he said those words about the death that he was going to die on the cross. But he left it for us as a principle in the New Testament that anybody who is going to serve him in the salvation of souls is going to see the same thing happen in their life. Until you as a person, I don't care if you're a preacher or a pastor or if you're just a little worker at home working on your own children, I don't care who you are, until you have come to the place where you take your corn, grain that is, your grain of wheat, and you put it into the ground and you let the water break it apart and you let that corn of wheat disappear and die, you cannot ever see any fruit for your ministry until you have done that with your life. There is no fruit for your ministry until you have done that. But when that grain of wheat goes into the ground and dies, a plant springs up. And by, after a little while, that plant produces more grains on the top. There is no ministering the gospel of Christ without death to the world first, without death to self, without giving up everything. There is no minister of the gospel that is a true minister of the gospel that has not done that. He goes on for another chapter and a half here. And I think I'm going to have to stop in this chapter and move on to some other stuff. I want you to notice that he says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. You know, if anybody's going to be a minister of the gospel of Christ, we call them a pastor or a shepherd. Their chief job is to feed the people of God. Their chief job is to feed the people of God. How do you feed the people of God if you don't know what food is? What are you feeding the people of God? In John chapter 6, Jesus says in verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread that cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I am in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. You know, another thing that is happening in our churches today. We want to minister. We want to be ministers. We want to be pastors. We want to lead the people of God. And we stand up and we teach the people of God. And you know what people are teaching these days? Historical facts and fiction that they learned in school. I talked to a girl one time who I was trying to help. She didn't really want to be helped that bad, but I was trying to help her. She was going to another church in town here. It is not a liberal church that you would look at and say that church is ungodly. It's not a cult. It's actually a true church where they truly believe the Bible. And she liked the church quite a bit because there she could be a follower of Jesus and listen to rock music. There she could be a good Christian and do just about anything she wanted because there wasn't much for standards here. But she told me one thing, one negative thing she said about the church. She said, you know, I really, really like the pastor's wife, and I like the pastor too. But she said, I don't get anything at all from his sermons. She said, the only thing he ever talks about goes into explaining the historical things of what happened. He says he can tell us what kind of clothes the people wore, what kind of things they ate, and what they might have been doing, and how history was at that time. But she says, I never get anything from his sermons. You know, there's one thing that will take a bunch of wretched people like you guys who are sitting in these chairs and get you to heaven. There's one thing. The work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That's it. If the person who is leading you spiritually does not feed you that, you will not be saved. Jesus is the bread of life. Now Jesus, yes, he died on the cross. He gave his life, he gave his body for the world. He gave his blood for the world. He says, my blood is drink indeed. Yes, he did that. But you know, the only thing that Jesus' death on the cross did for any human being was it came between the law of God and God so that sinners who had broken the law of God could be reconciled to God. That's all Christ's death did. Until you actually eat that bread and drink that blood, you don't have any life in you. And that's what we do. That's what we do at church. We digest Jesus Christ. We find in Him, He is our righteousness. And we find in Him that He requires righteousness of us. We find in Him that He is our peace. We find in Him that He gives us peace. We find in Him that He requires many things of us and He gives us the victory. We find in Him that He asks us to leave the world and we find that He has overcome the world. We find that He has given us everything that we need to become the sons of God. And this is all we ever need to feed the people. How many of you guys think that Jesus wore a blue and white gown while He walked on earth? Blue and white gown. Haven't you guys been reading your Bible storybooks? You know what? I'll tell you what the Bible says about the colors and the garment style of what Jesus wore. It tells us just as much as we need to know to get to heaven, which is nothing. Those stupid things that pastors spend so much time working over are worthless to the people of God. A few months ago, I was on Craigslist and I found somebody selling a Christian library about an hour and a half away from here. They had listed. They had a whole library, about three shelves worth of books they were selling. And I immediately called them and I said, "What kind of books do you have?" And he gave me some description, sounded good enough to me. I had pretty much, if it's books, I want them. And so I said, "Well, I'll come take a look right away, and if I like them, I'll buy them." And so I jumped in the truck and left. And I'm not disappointed that I went and bought the library, because there was some really useful stuff in that library. But I want to tell you what his library consisted of. He had three or four shelves worth of books. One shelf he was keeping. It was all the modern trash, which if it had come with the library, I would have taken it home and put it in the dumpster. It was completely valueless. Garbage. Modern self-help, stupidity, and the like. Nothing that anybody should ever read. The other shelves, the entire library, everything that I brought home, everything. Every single piece in the library was basically word studies. He had all sorts of Greek books. He had all sorts of Hebrew books. He had so many Bible dictionaries that it was almost unfathomable. I literally probably had 20 different ones from 20 different publishers. He had dictionaries. He had Bible history books. And apparently he had been in some sort of Christian ministry. But his house smelled so bad like smoke, you could hardly go into it, cigarette smoke. And he had a drum set in his living room. That doesn't feed anybody. The kind of Christianity that he was teaching out of the books that he had didn't help him quit smoking. How could he help anybody else live the Christian life? We need to eat the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you go to 1 Corinthians, we'll read a few verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 17. Paul writing again. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to naught the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If we, as ministers of the gospel of Christ, are going to preach the gospel of Christ to the world that is lost and dying, there's one thing that you must note that should characterize a minister of God. He should be a fool. The minister of God does not need some letters behind his name to tell us which prestigious school he graduated from. The minister of God does not need polished, well-rounded sermons. The minister of God does not need any of the things that this world looks to. You know, the church of God is the longest lasting, largest organization virtually of anything on this earth. And you know in what manner it has grown? When and where in history it has grown? It has been when little broken human beings went out in the power of God and acted like fools. That's where the church gets its roots from. And Paul, who happens to have authored about half of the New Testament, he writes, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Because we are not teaching a classroom tonight. If we were to gather together all the sense that this world has ever put together, if we were to gather all the wisdom this world has ever come up with and put it together in a classroom experience and open a college to teach the world, we could not make a single person on this earth, of all the 7 billion of them, a Christian with that wisdom. We could not save one soul. We could not make one man righteous. But instead, a little stupid person who has no college education, who has no GED, who never graduated from high school, who didn't even learn their schooling that well, can stand up behind a pulpit and can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as it is written in the Word of God. And God, by His Spirit, can take people who are living sinful lives and He can make them the sons of God. That's what a preacher is. That's what a Bible preacher is. Now you let me tell you something. When I said in the first sermon that the first sermon in this series, when I said that we had a group of young people in this church who were saying that the thing we needed the most here was a pastor, you know what they wanted? I can tell you one thing that is absolutely for certain not the kind of thing that they were looking for. That was a fool to stand behind the pulpit, a weak man who didn't have any of man's wisdom and didn't preach with enticing words and was there in weakness and fear and trembling. That was not what they were looking for. I know what they were looking for. I personally know what they were looking for. They were looking for somebody to come here and help people feel better. They were looking for somebody to befriend some of the people who felt lonely and some of the people who needed a little bit of help. They weren't looking for somebody to come here and smack sin in the face with their fist, which is what we must do if we want to see any fruit. Remember Psalm 1 that we went through last week. Anybody who doesn't start on that level in ministry, anybody who does not start by rejecting the ungodly, anybody who does not start by separating from sin, anybody who does not start by delighting themselves in the law of God, has no business in any ministry anywhere in Christianity. They're a fake. What we need here, maybe, is for some of these weak, weak pastors that we have here teaching the Word of God. What we need, perhaps, is for their vessels of clay to get a little bit more broken so that the light of the gospel of God shines out further. But you know, it's for that reason that sometimes the people who are involved in ministry don't want to be involved in ministry. It's not always so fun. It's not always so easy. It's not always so easy to be the shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. But that brings me to the next trait that we will look at next week. It just so happens that somebody who has been called of God to be a pastor doesn't have the ability. You can, sometimes you will see a person like Jeremiah say, I am all done. I can't do this anymore. But you can't quit. With Jeremiah, I don't know if it lasted one day or 1 hour, but it didn't last at all. Because he found when he tried to shut his mouth that the fire burned so hot inside he had to open it again and let it out. We'll look at that next week, Lord willing. And for this evening, we'll dismiss.